you. I'm glad to know Jesus this morning. Amen. I want to pick up where I was the night. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I'm going to preach on coming out of the comfort zone. The church is in a comfort zone. A lot of people in this church is in a comfort zone. I'm going to show you where the disciples got a little comfortable until Jesus, you know, God sometimes pulls us out of the comfort zone. But I'm not going to preach that this morning. I want to pick up where I left off last Sunday morning and Sunday night. Romans chapter 12. We're going to start there this morning. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 17. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 17 through verse 21. My Lord, God is good. Amen? Amen. Somebody say, God is good. Amen. Let's read right here the word of God. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 17 through 21. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live it peaceable with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, said the Lord. I used to joke about that and said I wanted to be the tool to help him. But that ain't how it goes. Amen? Verse 20, therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You don't stoop down to the level. Amen? You don't stoop down to the level of somebody else. You go above that level. I know sometimes it can be trisome when somebody may be cussing you out. But I'm not going to split those words out. Amen? There may be times where you like to get your hands around their throat, amen? But that's not what the Bible says to do. He says, overcome evil with good. I'm going to talk to you again this morning, but I'm going to title this, The Poison of Bitterness. Bitterness is poison, amen? Heavenly Father, we come before you, dear Lord, this morning, Lord, and we lift you up, dear God, today, Lord, and we just exalt you, dear God, and we praise you, dear God, Lord. Now, Lord, and we ask you, Lord, for your anointing, and we ask you, Lord, for your touch, dear God, Lord, today, dear God. Lord, I pray, God, for your hand, Lord, and I pray, God, for your anointing, dear Lord, to flow, dear God, upon me, dear Lord, today, Father God. Lord, I ask, God, for you to just touch, dear God, Lord, and let the anointing flow, dear God. Let the Spirit of God flow, dear God, today, Father. Lord, we lift you up, dear God, today, Lord. We exalt you this morning, Lord. We honor you this morning, oh God, and we give you glory, God. Give you praise, and we ask for your blessings and anointing one more time upon me today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. As I told you last Sunday, and I'm going to tell you again this morning that when one holds on to bitterness and unforgiveness in their life, it will affect one's it will affect one spiritually, and it will affect one physically as well. There's going to be some times where there's going to be some snakes that bite, even if we're not asking for it. Amen. Sometimes these things just take you off guard. Did you hear me? Sometimes these things happen. Sometimes they think come about because somebody's just plain mean. Sometimes they come about because it was just an accident. Amen. Sometimes things happen along the way. How many know life happens this morning? Amen. How many know there's no escaping the things that's going to happen? There's no escaping disappointment. commitments. There's no escaping hurts this morning. There's no escaping of being let down this morning. And there's no escaping a flat out meanness on some or in this world today. There's no escaping situations that's going to cause us pain that has us buried inside of us. In fact, that we are in a fallen world right now. Did you hear me? This is a fallen world right now. Did you hear what I'm saying? Even in the house of God, we're going to experience things like this. Why? Because the church is a perfect institution. It is inhabited right now by imperfect people. Did you hear me? The church itself is perfect, but the people that's running the church ain't perfect. Did you hear me? Did you hear what I'm saying this morning? Let me tell you, there's things that's going to come down inside. There's things that's going to rain on the just and the unjust alike. Let me tell you, there's going to be situations that come your way that's going to hurt, that's going to cause pain, that's going to cause disappointment. Some have allowed things that has happened in their childhood, in their past experiences, earlier on in their life, build inside of them. And what begins to happen, rage begins to come out. You see, when somebody's got pain, they got rage inside of them. Did you hear me? Why? Because they ain't let go of some things. Why people are full of rage is because of pain they have not let go of. Did you hear what I'm telling you right now? Sometimes, let me tell you, people need to understand the pain of others, but let me tell you, those that's holding back the pain, and that's the reason you're full of rage this morning. Amen? That's the reason it comes out of you. That's the reason you go into fits, if you will, because they will not release. They will not let God root out that pain, that bitterness, that hurt, that thing that has caused that time and time in past. What are you going to say this morning, preacher? I'm telling you, it's time. Let me just tell this church, it is time for some to release bitterness. Did you hear me? I wish there was more a church for to hear this. I wish there's time for the church to start forgiving and forgetting. Amen? It's time to quit throwing up things that happened in yesterday. Did you hear what I'm telling you? It's time to move on. Did you hear what I'm telling you? Because let me tell you, I'll make this statement again. I'm going to make this statement that a church that's got bitterness, a church that's got rage, a church that's got forgiveness, it will hinder revival from flowing in the house of God. Did you hear what I'm telling you this morning? Why? What is bitterness? Well, let me tell you, not only will it hinder the house of God, it will hinder you from receiving from God. You see, bitterness is an evil control upon one's life. How many know the Bible says that to forgive and you shall be forgiven? Peter said, Jesus, how many times shall we forgive? Seven times. And Jesus said, 70 times seven. Talking about unlimited times. But that ain't the mentality of the world today. That's not the mentality of man. You see, Satan tells the church to become bitter. Satan tells the individual it's all right to hold a grudge. How many's ever heard somebody say, it's all right to hold a grudge? No, it's not. It's going to kill you spiritually, and it's going to kill you physically. Let me tell you this morning, that God says forgive, forget, and to move on. Well, preacher, I just can't forget it. Well, let me tell you something this morning. Ain't you glad God knows how to throw the sins in the sea of forgetfulness this day? But let me tell you, that devil likes to build upon the grudges. That devil likes to build upon the pain. That devil likes to sprout more seed, and he wants to it to grow a bitterness inside of you. He wants to remind you of something that happened years ago, something that happened time past. Let me tell you, that's the reason some people can't move forward, because they can't get glow. They won't let go of what happened yesterday. Amen. Amen. Listen, if Paul said to reach forth, how can you reach forth when you are still reaching backwards? You can't go both ways. Amen. But that devil wants to remind you of things that happened yesterday. And you begin to think about what happened yesterday. You know what's going to happen? You're going to become bitter. Uh-oh. You're going to become bitter. The more you think about what happened yesterday, the more bitter you become. Amen? Amen? Hello? People can get bitter over anything. I've seen gentle people, the most gentle and kind people, become bitter, and you don't want them to become vicious and hate, more hateful than anybody you ever seen before. Why? Because they won't let go. Amen? They get mad at something. So-and-so didn't shake my hand. Well, I don't shake everybody's hand because I can't get to it. Amen? So count it an honor if I shake your hand. And wait around and I'll shake it. Things gonna happen. People get mad the preacher tells us something. It's the truth. Well, let me tell you, there's something about correction the Bible says. The Bible says correct those. If you can't take a correction, the Bible calls you a fool. A fool despises a correction, but a wise man receiveth correction. Amen? Amen? I don't say things to hurt, to try to hurt people purposely. I say it in the form of correction because they need to get it in order. Amen? Now, on them redskin things, now, that may be a different story. But no, people think so things so offensive in this day. Least little thing. My Lord, if you heard some of the things that's been said to me. Yeah, even up here. Yeah, I could easily got offended, but I don't. You know what I do? Shame, I don't pay it no attention. Amen? Amen? Say something, church, I take it against me personally because I'm the pastor. I take it personal, but I just shrug it off. You ain't my judge, God is. Amen? But people can get so offended over something so insignificant and minor. Something that's took way out of the context than what it's said in. That's the reason I despise text messages in certain cases. Because you don't know what the context of somebody is saying something right there, do you? How many know that this morning? You can send a text message and you know, sometimes that auto spell on text messenger, it'll have you have things said in there you don't want to be saying or shouldn't be saying. But I don't like that. Because if I can listen to the tone of their voice, I can see how it's being said. Amen? That's the reason if I'm texting, I'm just cutting up, I'll put something JK, like joking, beside of it because I don't want it to be took out of context. People can get offended over little things. I've never seen a generation of snowflake, and I'm sorry to, I don't want to put down my snowflakes. I'm talking about those that fall from the heaven because God, you know, he creates them. But I've never, I'll call them beanie weenies. I've never seen a generation of beanie weenies like I have right now. They get offended over the least little thing. They get offended at what Trump does, but they're not offended at the abortion clinics. Amen? They get offended at something he said, but they're not offended at homosexual marriage. Amen? They get offended over something Let me tell you, that's the way people are. They're looking to get offended today because the bitterness is the root of evilness. Amen? Let me tell you, there is nothing more physically, emotionally, and spiritually exhausting than to be bitter and to have resentment and prolonged anger. Now, I want to tell you, there's nothing wrong with getting angry about things, but you don't hold on to it. Amen? You let it go. I'll show you here in a minute. There's some things I'm angry about. Uh-oh. There's some things that rile me. And sometimes I'm not too hard to get riled. You catch me on the right day, you'll find, especially when I'm hurting and pained. But I don't, you know, there's things we ought to get angry about. You ought to be angry about sin. Amen? Amen? How many know you ought to be angry about the abortion clinic? Hello? Hello? I see what happened with what the results of sin, and it makes me angry. Walk to a hospital and see the results of sin. Go to a funeral home and see the result of sin. Go see how some people act, and it's a result of sin. Amen? Those things we ought to be angry about. And yes, they are those that do things. And yes, they are things that do happen to us. It's going to happen. People's going to say things that hurt your feelings. But I'm not going to wear them on my sleeve. People are going to do things that pull my strings. I have, how long I've been preaching now? What year is it? 2020, ain't it? I say, welcome to pastor. Well, in 20 years, I've never seen nobody yet at 8. But no, let me tell you. I preach messages, and it ain't here. Maybe it has happened here, but I know an incident happened down south. When I was preaching, I'd be getting dirty looks. I just want to smile and say, God bless you too. Amen. But bitterness, prolonged anger, that's not letting go of something. Most time you can go sleep, give it a few hours, and it's over with. How many know that? Most things you can do, it would rile me. You give me a few minutes, and I'll be calmed down, and it's gone. That's part of the human emotions. But sometimes people don't want it to go. They want it to be prolonged. They want it to reside inside of their life. And here's what begins to happen when bitterness, resentment, and prolonged anger happens. Bitterness will rack your nervous system. Some people, I need a nerve pill. Anybody ever heard that from a nurse? No, you don't. You need Jesus. Hello? I need this, I need that for my nerves. No, you don't. You need Jesus. Amen? Bitterness will hurt your digestive system. See, bitterness will sour your dispensation. Bitterness upsets your personality. Amen? Like I said, I've seen kind people, because they become bitter, become some of the most vicious people you would ever see. Bitterness will raise your blood pressure. Not all the time, but it will. Bitterness will depress your heart. And bitterness will rob you of peace of mind. Y'all didn't know I was a doctor too, did you? I'm taking appointments and I'll diagnose you just as my head surgeon. No, I looked at these, but it will. Because what happens on the inside will affect the outside as well. I've told you before, and I'm going to make it a statement. I don't know what happened, But in my spirit, these things that happened years ago here, this church needs to forget and move on. There's people under my voice that things that have happened, and I'm sorry things have happened, but it's time to move on. It's time to forget those things. You've been hurt by the church, but I ain't here for the people. I'm here for God. Amen. Amen. I didn't come, listen, I'm preaching to you, but I didn't come to please you. I come to please Him this morning. Amen. Amen. See, bitterness will also disturb your sleep. What do you think the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4 and 26? Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, let me tell you, I found this out to be true. That if I got something on my mind, and it's bugging me, and it's making me mad, I have a hard time sleeping at night. Anybody else found that out? Why do you think Jesus said, be angry and sin not, but before the sun goes down, you need to get over it. That's what the Bible was saying right there. That's what it's saying right there. Angry for the moment, don't sin. But before the sun goes down, you need to be moved on. That's what Paul was saying right there. That's what it's saying. But people don't want to be moved on. See, another thing I want you to know is bitterness will tarnish your testimony. Hello? Speaking hate of someone, speaking lies of someone will tarnish your testimony. I'm not going to pay a bit of attention to hearsay. Hello? If I get a hold of something, it's because of something I've seen or the Holy Ghost has dropped in my spirit. Amen? But somebody that has hate towards your brother, your testimony is ruined. I'm telling you, you see how bitterness, resentment, and prolonged anger is an evil control upon one's life. See what it is? Bitterness is like the steering wheel for some people today. In other words, their life is controlled. They are driven by the root of bitterness. It steers them. Hello? Some people ain't got a nice word to say. God bless you. Some people don't. They're driven by bitterness. What's Paul saying? Look in Romans. He addresses it. You don't repay evil for evil. He said, don't you get bitter and get bitter with him, whatever they done. He says, how do you overcome evil? With good. Amen? 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 Hello? Think about it. Let me tell you something. When people are bitter or anger, and I don't mean to pick on the women, but the women are the worst for this. I don't mean to say, I'm telling the truth right here. Because when somebody's angry or they're bitter, they make irrational decisions. Their mouth opens before they realize what they're speaking. I got one amen. Any more amens? I'm telling the truth. And it's proven that women are worse than men on this. But I've seen men do it also. In the spare of the moment thing. How many things have been done in the spare of the moment because one was anger? Example, got to lose my teeth. Example, I'm going to spit them out one of these days. How many has quit a job because you got mad in the moment? Then a couple hours later, you're thinking, what did I do? I've seen it happen many times. People get mad and walk out on a job because they got mad. Guess what they walked out on? They'd have given a little while. Everything would have been back to normal. What happened? They lost their income, no place of work. They have no resources coming in, all because of a spare a moment thing. Listen, I tell preachers, and I live by this right here. Don't ever move a church, leave a church for another one because of an emotional decision. When it's time for me to move, it'll be because God told me, not because somebody made me mad. Amen? Amen? I'm telling you, people will make us in past, and there's been times I've got so mad, I said, I'm getting out of there. But after a few hours, I'm calmed back down, or a few minutes, I'm calmed back down. But they are those who have left churches just because of an irrational decision, because of a moment, a spur of the moment, and it turned out to be the worst mistake they ever made. Listen. Whether you believe it or not, things are going to happen in a church just like they do on a regular job. I'm going to make you mad at some point. And if I don't, then I'm not doing my job. I'm like Donnie Swaggart. I believe everybody needs to get offended every once in a while. That means to get the toes stomped on. If you don't have your toes stomped on, I'll have somebody follow you around. They'll have me a sermon in 5 minutes. If you say you ain't got no sin, I'm going to be like Jesus. No. Irrational decision. I'm going to show you real quick. We're irrational decisions. People do something in a moment, and it's dumb. And let me tell you, sometimes smart people do dumb things. Hey, man, there's times I've done dumb things. Not saying I'm a genius. If you want to, I'll take it. But some, every one of us in here has done some dumb things. Hey, man, we look back on it now, and we think, what in the world am I thinking? There's been things I said in the spur of the moment. I said, why did I say that? Anybody with me? See, when you get bitter, people will do things that shouldn't be done. They'll lie, do something in spite. But even in the Bible, it tells us there was irrational decisions made done because someone was angry, someone was bitter, or something. How about this one? Cain killed Abel. Uh-oh. How many know brother killed a brother? And let me tell you, I want to tell the liberals something. It didn't happen by a gun. He took a rock. Irrational decision, Genesis 4 and 8. God wouldn't accept Cain's sacrifice. It made Cain mad, so he killed Abel because God took Abel's sacrifice. By the way, Abel's was the first fruit. It was the best. I believe blood was involved in it, shedding the blood, if I'm not mistaken, right there. How about Saul attempting to kill David in 1 Samuel 20 and 33? Why? Because Saul was jealous of David. You get jealousy, irrational things come up. Sins of the heart will cause irrational decisions to happen. Sometimes even delightful tasks are affected by people being bitterness. They do it because out of bitterness. I'll just show you. Do you see what I'm saying? Cool down. Cool down. It don't take long for somebody to cool down. Because I'm afraid that some people today, if you're not careful, you'll make an irrational decision based on an emotion. And by the way, Cain was a male, so here's a case of it doing. But in general, a lot of women are guilty of this. in more cases, I see women than men making decisions based on emotion than anything else. It was irrational. Look what he done. Irrational decisions. Listen. I've seen people marry people because they're afraid they'd be lonely the rest of their life. That happens. Listen. That's not a reason to marry somebody. I'd rather be lonely and happy the rest of my life. Hey, Ben, am I right on that? People just do it because, well, they think nobody else is coming along. Irrational decisions. The emotions playing in it. You see, what people don't understand this morning, that bitterness is like an erosive cancer. It will always eat at you and will affect you all over. There is one story I like. How it tells the story of how bitterness will affect one. And how people like to baby and nurture bitterness in their life. There's an old legend that tells the story of a boy from an ancient city of Sparta, which stole a fox and hid it under his coat. The fox began to eat away at his side until it reached his intestines. But rather than acknowledging that he had stolen the fox, he continued to hide it and let it eat his life away. How many know that's the way bitterness is? It's the way some people are. They do not want to acknowledge it. They don't want to acknowledge their grudges or bitterness. Instead, they're going to let it eat them alive. Can I tell you why that young boy didn't want to acknowledge he stole the fox? It's the same reason some people don't want to acknowledge they got an anger or a bitterness or a forgiveness issue. It's because of pride. Too prideful. Amen. So they try to justify their actions. Some people try to justify the reasons they do what they want to do. You know the scripture they use to try to justify their actions? Matthew 5:38. Anybody know what Matthew 5:38 is? Jesus said, you heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. They try to use that one part right there. In other words, they want to say, accusation for accusation. Uh-oh. Let me stop right here. This is worse than children. To make an accusation, somebody makes an accusation, then you make an accusation, let me tell you, you're doing exactly what Paul told you not to do. A lie for a lie. They lied on me, so I'll lie on them. Before you get me, how about this one? I'll get you. Listen. You ever heard that? People throw accusation for accusation, lie on lie. They say, well, it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's what Jesus said. But they don't read on down the scripture. They don't read in verse 39. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. What are you saying? If somebody says something to you, you don't turn back around and give it to them. I know sometimes that's hard. You don't cuss them out either. How many know? Listen, what somebody needs to write this down. Romans 12:14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. I know sometimes you feel like it. Amen? Hey, human emotions. I'm just telling you the truth. But that ain't what we're supposed to do. People try to justify the reason. Amen? Amen? So, well, you correct people. Well, there's a difference in correcting them and cursing them. How many know that? How many know there's a difference in correcting? When I preach hard behind this pulpit, it's not to curse you. It's to correct you. If I tell you got an issue you need to deal with, it's not to be mean. It's to get things in order. Preacher's not trying to be mean. But if I had to offend you to get things where it needs to be, just to get this wrong, let me tell you something. Sometimes the truth hurts. And somebody needs to get it. Sometimes you need a dose of reality where you'll begin to see it in yourself. Hello, how many know that? I'm not out to purposely tear nobody down. I want to see you grow. I want to see you what God can make you get into. Amen. I want to see you make heaven. Amen. Amen. Oh, I believe in loving people, but not without the truth. Amen. See, there's a philosophy in the church world today. And I believe in loving people, but don't tell them the truth because it'll offend them. How many know that? How many know if you really love somebody, you're going to tell them the truth? Amen? People get upset with preachers because what they preach, but you better understand, it ain't Hollywood looking for you out for your soul. Hello? It ain't Hollywood that's praying for you every day. It's not Hollywood in the world that's trying to keep you out of hell. Amen? John the Baptist, one of my favorite in the Bible. Have any know he told them like it was? Paul preached it like it was. But let me tell you, we can preach it in love without hate. Amen? You want me to tell you what's the shame about some Christians today? They preach it like they want you to go to hell instead of trying to keep you from going to hell. Amen? What I'm saying this morning is, yeah, we bless them, not curse them. But people need to understand telling somebody the truth in love and trying to correct is not cursing somebody. Cursing somebody is calling them names in the book and telling things about them that's not true. See, it's one of the hardest things that I've ever faced before. Years ago, somebody told me the truth. But you know what? They were right. Amen? Anybody ever had a hard, cold dose of the truth? Amen? What does the truth do at first? Right, what's it do at first? Makes you mad, don't it? I like what the former youth director of North Carolina said one time. He said the truth will make you free. He said sometimes people will have to chew on the truth for a little while, but after they chew it and swallow it, it'll sure set them free. Amen? Now I look back on it, and I appreciate those words. Amen? I appreciate those things of being told. Amen? It wasn't done out of spite. Even when I was in the preacher's guilty chair. My pastor had a guilty chair in the office down there. You got called in there, you know, and you had to sit down in there, you know you done something. And most of the time when I got called, I know I done something. But even in those times, I go back now and I appreciate it. But some people want to curse you out. They just want to cuss you. Call you every low-down, rotten, dirty name in the book. Paul said, bless them which persecute you and curse not. That means even behind your breath. God sees you behind closed doors. Amen? Let me tell you. Remember Jesus said the words, and you say, well, they don't love me. They don't love me. Well, I'm going to show you something right here. If you can't love the unlovable, you can't love God. Amen? That don't mean I give them my seal of approval. Amen? I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe in kicking people out of church unless it gets to a point where they're causing disruption and trouble. And then you need to try to address it before that happens. Amen? They are times where Paul even said it in Corinthians, where he had to get one out. There is a thing called church discipline. But I think the last option it should be is telling somebody to hit the road. I don't care what they done. Amen? As long as they're not trying to cause dissension, and if they'll hear correction and shut up, they can stay. But if they're going to cause dissension and trouble, then guess what? I've never had to do this. I don't want to. You know, you don't want to. Any pastor that wants to, I got a problem with that. You want that to be the very last resort there is. Because I've always said, I'd rather err on the side of mercy. I'd rather err on the side of mercy than judgment. Amen. Amen. I think you shake things off. Move on. But let me tell you what Jesus said. If we can't love those that hate us, listen to what he said. Matthew 5:43-48. You have heard that it had been said that thou shalt love thy neighbors and hate thy enemies. Now he said, you've heard this saying. He's not saying to do this. He said, he is telling us, you have heard this right here. This is what everybody says. But I say unto you, but he said, now here's what I'm telling you. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, to do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? You know who the publicans was, don't you? That was the tax collectors. Sorry. I had to get that out there. And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Sorry, but Jesus was kind of hard on them. I pick it. Huh? He loved them. But even Matthew was a tax collector. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven. Listen, give me a little bit more, and I still got another page of notes yet to go. What are you saying there? You say, I hate this person because they done me wrong? You're not a God. I don't have to like their actions. How many know that? How many know there's a lot of people's actions I don't like? But that don't mean I got anything personal. How many know that? My Lord, there's a lot of people in walks in this world. Listen. That I don't like the things they do. Hello? But I'm praying for them. Somebody come to me hungry. Like I had a lady call the church the other day, want me to pay the power bill. I said, bring me the power bill and the church will take care of it. Guess what? I ain't seen her yet. I was willing to pay the power bill. Amen? I'm willing to give them food. In some cases, if the Lord gives me the discernment, I'll just get them for some food. Because I done that one time, come into an $800 blessing down in Robbinsville. You know, if there's somebody comes hungry, you got food, give them food. Hey, man, I don't care what they done to you. How many know they're a soul at stake? Hey, man, listen, I tell you, you got bitterness. I got to hurry this morning. You got anger. You got resentment in you. There's a cure for it. And that cure is called forgiveness. It's the only cure for it. Forgiveness, you can say, involves three things. Injury, debt, and cancellation of debt. What are you saying? What is forgiveness can be defined as setting someone free from an obligation to you that is a result of a wrong that's been done against you. The problem is, let me tell you, what an injury. That means you've been hurt somewhere along the way. That debt means you owe somebody. They owe you, or you owe them. A debt needs to be paid. But there's that third part, that cancellation of debt. That means forgive. Let it go. Anybody ever had somebody owed them money and you just forgot about it? That's called a cancellation of debt. I want to tell you the problem today. I'm going to ask you this question. See, some may be injured in here this morning by what someone else's debt. But I'm going to tell you, and I've got to ask you this. First of all, you've got to be spiritual enough to cancel the debt. There's a lot of immaturity in the body of Christ. And I'm not talking about babes. I'm talking about people that sit on pews. They're not mature enough. They're not spiritually mature enough to forgive. I want to tell you, this church, something. Some need to grow up. I've seen children act more mature than some adults. You tell them you done something to them, you're sorry, I couldn't do it, they'll say, I forgive you, and move on. But some adults, listen, I'm going to tell you, there's some adults that hold things against people that won't let go, and it is plain silly. I'm sorry, but that's how it is. It'd be like me getting upset, or Junior getting upset. Preacher, don't like my football team. No, I don't. And no, I don't like your baseball team either. That's right. Now, I'm just telling you how it is. Ain't that silly? We forget. We're in a fallen world. I'm going to show you something here in just a minute. I got to get on to. But I ask you, are you spiritually mature to cancel the debt? Listen, there's examples of forgiveness in the Bible. Joseph, you can read in Genesis 37:23-28 that he was sold into slavery by his brothers. Joseph revealed himself and wept with them. But he knew all alone he had the power to have them killed. Whew. Genesis 45:3-5. Amen. He knew all alone he had the power to have them killed. You know, he could have put their head on the chopping block for what they done to him. Most people probably would have, but not Joseph. He said, no, forget it. God sent me here before you. I want you to think about that. Here was a man that had the power to have his brother killed. He knew them. They didn't know him. He remembered what they done to him, but he forgave them and wept with them. My Lord, ain't that the power of forgiveness right there? That's called canceling the debt. He didn't let them starve to death in the land. He brought them to Egypt and put them in Goshen, the most prosperous part of Egypt. Job, oh my Lord, here you go. Somebody's going to have to write this down in here, because somebody needs to understand about Job. He was talked about, he was ridiculed, and he was even questioned by his friends. But Job 42:10 says, listen to Job 42:10. For those who may be in that time like Job's going through, maybe things is going wrong. People may be coming against you. I'm going to show you what God showed me. You want it turned around? Here's what Job 42:10 did. God told Job to do. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Here's your key. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Here's a principle. Instead of going accusation for going accusation, lie against lie, how about praying for them? And God may turn your captivity around. He brought them people to Job to apologize and give him wealth. Woo! Did anybody get that this morning? Amen? What did Job do to get his captivity turned around? He prayed for those who ridiculed him, talked about him, and questioned him. Then, notice that word then. Job had to do that. Then the Lord turned the captivity around, and God gave Job twice as much as he had before. So what I'm telling you, it pays to pray for your enemies. Could be the reason some are going through the captivity, the trouble they got, is because they really refused to pray for their enemies. Maybe God will start prospering some when they begin to start praying for those who ridiculed them, mocked them, and talked about them, and questioned them. Maybe God then will turn it around. I'm convinced when you pray for your enemies, God will turn your captivity around. How about Stephen? Jazz, you can go ahead and get Marcy. Acts 7, 59 and 60. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, lay not sin to their charge. There's a good example of forgiveness. Being stoned again. Here's another example. He prayed for him as he was being stoned. Lay no charge to him. But people today want to lay charge to him. See, let me tell you about bitter unforgiveness attitude. Their attitude is like this: until you have repaid me the wrong that you've done to me, I'll hold back my acceptance of you. That's what a bitter person says. Until you repay me for what you've done, I'm not going to accept you. I'm not going to talk to you till you apologize to me. How would you like for me to tell the church that? Well, I'm going to give you an example. Until you apologize to me, I need to sit down anyway. I'm going to sit down, stick my nose up, get a nosebleed. You know what you've done years ago to me? You ain't canceling no debt. I'm going to tell you something. You think you're the only one that's been offended somewhere. I'm going to give you a nugget. You probably offended somebody along the way also. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Ain't that amazing? The people that want to hold a grudge don't think about the people they offended. I'm telling you, we're all guilty of offending somebody along the way. Not just you, preachers also. Sometimes it's intentional. Sometimes it's unintentional. A lot of times it's unintentional, to be honest with you. But they don't want to cancel the debt. I want to read you, in closing, some words of Paul right here again. Recompense no man to no man evil for evil. Verse 21 in Romans 12, be not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. Verse 14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. But here's how some people act. When Frederick the Great was dying, he was told by a religious man, to have final peace with God, you must forgive your enemies. Listen to what Frederick the Great told his wife. He said, write your brother and tell him I forgive him, but mail it to him after I'm dead. It's the wrong spirit. Wrong spirit, but that's how some people are. Mail it to him after I'm dead. Don't tell him that I'm dead. I seriously doubt he really forgive him. You can stand it here this morning. Don't be Frederick the Great. Let it go. Let it go. Move on. Today's a new day. This morning, I want you to know God wants some people to cancel some debts. God said some may have had some things happen to them along the way that you still not got rid of. But God said, cancel the debt. You think you're the only one offended? You've offended people in your lifetime too. Hey, I'm guilty. I'm not going to sit up here and say I'm perfect, because I'm not. I'm not. And if I've offended someone in here, I'm going to stand up in front of this church right now and I'm going to apologize to you. Not for what I preach in the Word of God, but maybe I've offended you jokingly or unintentionally. I'll apologize to you right now. But people's got to cancel the debt. People's got to cancel the debt. Cancel the debt. God says, cancel the debt. Cancel the debt. Some of you got some debt you need to cancel. Let it go before God. Let it go before God. Every believer in here needs to cancel the debt. Somebody, you done something's happened along the way. Cancel the debt. Don't let a poison, bitterness get in your spirit. God wants you to cancel debt this morning. There's freedom in Jesus Christ. There's freedom in Christ Jesus. Cancel the debt. 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 Love your enemies. Pray for them that persecute you. They hungry, give them food. If they're thirsty, give them water. But don't let bitterness kill you this morning. Don't let something silly hinder your walk with God and keep you out of heaven this morning. Lord, we honor you and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.